In today's chat podcast, we're going to be talking to the artist of the month for November 2016, Eugene Cooperman.
Welcome to the Artist of the Month podcast. Join Rick now as we chat with a winning artist each month, celebrate them and their work. Now, here's Rick.
Okay, thank you all for joining me today as we're going to be chatting with Eugene Cooperman. He was the Artist of the Month for November 2016. And let's get right into our chat with Eugene. How are you doing today, Eugene?
I'm doing great, Rick. How are you?
Very good. Great to have you on this podcast, and really looking forward to it.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
Would you like to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, just briefly?
Well, I've been an artist pretty much all of my life. I started drawing when I was maybe 3 years old, painting when I was seven, and I've been doing that all throughout my teen years. I'm also a designer, so I have three design degrees, and that's what I've been doing as well.
Oh, wow. So you've had a lot of schooling in design?
Yes, primarily graphic design.
So tell me, how does it feel to have been chosen for the Artist of the Month for November?
Well, Rick, it feels good, the fact that my hard work is appreciated, so that's always a great thing.
I'm looking at your winning entry that was titled Hollywood Walk of Fame, looking at it on the screen. Would you like to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, primarily the idea came out of the fact that, you know, I feel very, it's a very touchy issue for me, the issue of homelessness in the United States. Mm-hmm. And you know, anytime I see a homeless person, I try to either, you know, give them something or buy them food. And for me, it's very important to acknowledge these people because they just about lost everything that anybody can lose, and they're at rock bottom. So it's very important to address this issue. And for me, this was something that I planned out to do, and I chose to do it on Hollywood Boulevard. A lot of people from outside of Los Angeles, they go to Hollywood and they think that they'll see George Clooney or Jennifer Lopez, but the reality is far more bleak. You know, you mostly see homeless men and women out there trying to survive, and
really?
You know, what I actually represented is the actual real Hollywood Boulevard. That's what, if anybody goes there, if you go there right now, you will see a lot of homeless people there.
Mm.
And the fact is, you know, in that painting, there's a homeless person laying down on the star, and we don't know whether he's dead or alive. And those people that just passed him by did it as though it's like a normal thing that goes on. And society has kind of been, you know, kind of nurtured to think that this is normal, but
yeah.
The reality of it, it's not normal for the richest country in the world to have so many poor homeless people that don't have a home to stay in.
That's sad, isn't it?
It's very sad, and I think it's important to bring awareness on this topic and, you know, have more people try to see what they can do. I actually posted a link on my description for this piece when I posted on social medias. It's a link for the website of National Alliance to End Homelessness, so people can Google it and they can go there and see what they can do to help this issue.
Okay, you want to repeat that link, will you?
I believe it's National Alliance to End Homelessness.
Okay.
I don't remember exact URL link.
Okay.
But if you Google online National Alliance to End Homelessness, you'll find the link to this website, and people can go there and see what they can do to help,
okay.
Whether it's donate money or anything else. It's really something that, you know, I think it's important for people to know.
Yeah. I'll have that link up on the podcast page on artistofthemonth.net. So,
oh, perfect. Thank you so much, Rick. That really means a lot to me.
And, you know, any of the other things we talk about. This is a really big question for me is, and I think a lot of people, what inspires you to paint?
Well, that's a very, that is kind of a difficult question to answer, to be honest with you.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not simple. Well, you know, as a person grows in life, they have different interests that inspires them or, you know, kind of pushes them to do what they are doing.
Yeah.
And when I was younger, it was more for the beauty of things and landscapes and flowers and things like that. But as I became older, I realized that, you know, I think that it's important to voice my opinion and my, you know, really make an awareness on certain topics that I feel strongly about. And as of now, since maybe the end of 2014 or so, I've been kind of trying to paint social commentary works that bring to mind about important issue of today for people to really, you know, stop and think about what's really going on. And, you know, some of those issues that, you know, I've been painting was about the issue of homelessness, issue of anti-Semitism and the Holocaust painting. And I'm also working on a few other projects right now that I want to kind of express my voice, express my opinion on certain current topics, social commentary topics.
Yeah, that's definitely some good work, and it's good to make some people aware of that stuff. You know, it just seems like we kind of become blind to certain things.
Yeah, when I do these projects, I don't have a monetary price in mind for any of them. I'm really doing them to kind of make more awareness about these certain things that I think are very important. I believe that, at least for me, you know, I don't want to say for anybody else because, you know, I think that other artists are doing what they believe in, and that's great. And I think that everybody should be doing what they believe in and what they feel passionate about. But for me, I feel like I want to somehow try to help society in any way that I can. As small as it may be, as little viewers as I may have, but at least I can somewhat inspire and enlighten other people with these projects and enlighten myself in the process. I mean, that's really what it's about. For me, it's really about the work and understanding more about myself as I do these pieces.
Do you find that you, as you're starting something, you become more aware yourself of what's going on? You know what I mean?
Well, there's a lot of things that run through my mind when I do these projects. I think that as I work on them further, they make me kind of wonder about certain things, like you know, when I did the painting about the Holocaust. I just looked at some of these people's faces and I thought that, you know, what might be going on through their minds at this moment? I mean, they know that this is the last time that their last moments of life. So what can go on in a person's mind that when they're at that situation? So it's really, it's a very, an emotional thing sometimes, but I also believe that you kind of have to alienate yourself sometimes, most of the time from that, because if you take everything too hard on yourself when you're doing these very, you know, sad and tense projects, you really won't be able to handle the full length of the project.
Yeah, oh yeah. You can get really drawn right into it and with the emotion of it and, you know, all that.
Most definitely.
The Hollywood Walk of Fame painting, that just, I believe you entered that, I think you entered that once before, if I remember right.
And I believe so, yes.
And I remember seeing that come in, and I thought, wow, that is a Thank statement. You. That is a huge statement. You know, there's this guy laying down, you know, by the walk, the star walk there, the, you know, Hollywood stars, and there's people walking right by as if, you know, what a great day, you know, and pretty sad. It's a very moving painting.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the truth of things. It's really the reality of how things are on Hollywood Boulevard. I mean, a lot of people that haven't been there, they would think otherwise, but that's the reality of Hollywood and a lot of Los Angeles, that there's a lot of homeless people,
sad.
You know, on the streets.
And, you know, you ever think about it, with all the money we send overseas, you know, and we're not really helping. You know, I do believe other people in other countries should get help when, you know, they need it, and just like us, you know, here in the U.S. It just seems like maybe the scale is a little unbalanced, you know. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, this is how I feel, Rick. I think that everybody, you know, should be treated well and treated in the best way possible. But the United States really needs to focus more on their own citizens more than anybody else, because, you know, we're a part of this country. And especially there's a lot of veterans, a lot of homeless veterans that are not getting any help. And, you know, I think that's a shame. Somebody that served our country and gave us this gift of freedom. I mean, that's what they give us. There's nothing that we can really repay them for the freedom that we get. And in reality, what happens to some of them is that they become homeless and they're not getting the help that they should be getting. And, you know, I think that's a shame. I don't, you know, I'm not a politician. I would never go into politics.
Yeah, but, I hear you.
You know, I think that there should be something done about this. I mean, this is an important issue and something needs to be done. And I don't know exactly how it would be feasible to do something about it, but this is not right, what's going on right now.
Yeah, definite point. This next question I like to ask is, what does your art mean to you? What would you say?
My art means to me of basically where I stand at a certain point when I create the art. Like, you know, there's pieces that I created a few years ago, 2012, 2013, that now I don't feel exactly the same way as I felt at that time, that I felt about them. And, you know, I think it's normal for a person to grow and change their opinions and, you know, become more aware or think differently about certain topics. But the art that I create now is what I believe in at the moment of the creation. You know, like I stated previously, Rick, I really try to create something meaningful for me and something that others would appreciate as well.
Yeah. You're doing a great job at it. I'll tell you that, Eugene. You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
I've noticed on your website, cooperart.com, that you do landscapes, portrait figures, and social commentary and still lives. And I kind of like to inspect everybody's website out over and check into things and see what they look like. You got some really good work.
Thank you very much, Rick. I appreciate it. That means a lot.
And on your website, it says that you've been published in magazines. You want to go over that, books and newspapers a little bit?
Yes. Well, I've been exhibiting since maybe 2006 or 2005. And 2010, I had a private show in Manhattan, New York. And
wow.
I was published in a few newspapers in New York, and then the group organizer that I've been with since 2010, his name is Vladimir Andreev, and this is for an organization called Art of Inspiration. Mm-hmm. He introduced me to a private art collector whose collection is absolutely astounding. I mean, it's unbelievable. His name is Robert Rothschild, and he has such pieces in his collection that you wouldn't even think that. I mean, he has over 1,000 paintings in his collection.
Wow.
And he has, like, pieces by Rembrandt. He has pieces by Warhol. He has pieces by Lichtenstein. And I came over his house, and he showed me his collection. And I was absolutely, you know, very impressed by the volume and the quality of his collection. So I showed him some of my work, and I did a portrait of a Russian composer named Gary Gold. And he saw it, and he said, well, maybe I'll have you do a portrait of my son. So that's when I got the commission to do a portrait of his son. And that portrait was published in a few books. One of them is a catalog of his collection, and another one is a catalog of Art of Inspiration.
Mm-hmm. The Russian painter, that's right on your website, right?
Excuse me?
The picture, or the painting of the Russian, I think that...
No, the portrait that I did was a portrait of a kid, a portrait of Danny, I believe that's what it's called, and it's a portrait of maybe... kid who's about 7 or 6 years old, and he's in his room with his toys. And
okay, I see that now. I'm looking at it. Okay. That's really good.
Thank you.
There's a painting on there of a, it looks like a, he would be a Russian like type guy. It was an older one, an older looking, like maybe from the, oh, I don't know, the 1800s or something.
Yes. I believe you're talking about the Rembrandt study that I did.
Is that? Okay. Yeah. That's really nice.
I believe that's a study of Portrait of Nicholas Rutz by Rembrandt, and I just did the head study.
Mm.
And, you know, I wanted to mention that my favorite painter of all time is Rembrandt.
Is that?
I think he's absolutely brilliant. I mean, when I look at his work, it's just, it's unbelievable. I mean, as a painter, I think he's unparalleled. You know, I've been studying his way of painting and his portraits, and he's my favorite portraitist as well. And with this study, I believe I became a much better painter by copying a Rembrandt. And
yeah,
I think it's important for artists to be inspired by an artist that they admire, and even copy their work and learn from them, because there's a lot that you can get from copying these old masters, because they, in my opinion, they were the best at art, at painting, at sculpture, at drawing. They're really the best at all of those things.
Definitely. Yeah, I really do believe that too, Eugene, that, you know, when you try to copy something, and, you know, most of the time you'll want to let people know, and you do, that it's a, you know, an attempt at a reproduction. And that does teach you a lot, you know, color mixes and, you know, everything.
Yeah, and you know, the interesting thing is that these masters like Rembrandt, Velázquez, Caravaggio, they had a very limited amount of pigments during that time. And what they did was just absolutely astounding. They used the least amount of pigments to achieve the most amount of effects in their paintings.
Mm-hmm.
And it really takes very high-level mastery to use less to create more.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Yeah, I definitely do. you can do a lot with a little bit, and, you know, the varying of your values.
Yes. You know, I mean, I think technically it's probably possible to do everything that you want to do with about six pigments.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say that's about as much as you can do anything with. There are, of course, those specialized pigments that you can't really mix, so you would have to get those. But in terms of portraits or painting people, figurative work, yeah, I believe about 6 pigments is enough to achieve anything that you want if you want to do a, you know, realistic painting.
Yeah. I seen on your website where you're painting a mural, looks like on a staircase. On your about page at cooperart.com, you're doing some roses. Was that right out there in California, or where is that at?
Well, I'll tell you about that, Rick. Basically, the way I got this commission is there was a girl that I went to high school with, and her boyfriend also knew me, and they kind of got in touch with me, and they told me that her mom wants somebody to paint roses in her home, which would resemble something of kind of Rose Cafe in Venice. Mm-hmm. So I went to look at Rose Cafe in Venice, and I said, sure, I'll do it. And that's what I did. It's about, I don't know, maybe over 20 feet in length and maybe 8-9 foot high mural.
Mm-hmm.
And I was about 20 years old when I did it. And, you know, it was a fun project, but it was tough because sometimes I had to stand on a ladder. Other times I had to paint upside down, and upside down because I stood on the second floor and I had to reach my hand down to paint certain aspects because I couldn't do it any other way. So it was really an interesting experience, and you know, afterwards I got to appreciate a lot more of what the masters did when they, you know, what Michelangelo did when he painted the Sistine Chapel for the Last Judgment.
Yeah.
Except that my work was nowhere near as elaborate or as, you know.
I bet that was going through your mind, though, you know, thinking about that probably as you was painting that.
Yeah, I got a little taste of what they experienced, and that was interesting.
Yeah. I could almost picture you hanging over the edge there, reaching down and doing some of them roses. Holy cow. That would be quite a drop, too.
Yeah, I have to be very careful. Thankfully, I didn't injure myself, didn't fall once.
But
there were a few times when I, you know, almost fell down. Sometimes you get carried away with doing details or doing the painting, and you kind of don't think about your own safety.
Yeah.
And thankfully, that nothing happened, but it was definitely, it was an interesting experience, to say the least.
Yeah, that's good. That's acrylic on there, right?
It's acrylic and house paint, yes.
Okay. Yeah. It's really nice. Really. Oh, good.
Thank you.
What would you say would help other artists out there to market their artwork that, you know, might be a little different, or I don't know, you know, what do you think would help somebody?
Well, I'm not sure exactly how to answer that because my own artwork is not, the artwork that I've been creating is not so much a commercial value.
Yeah.
However, I did sell a lot of landscapes before, and I still sell them from time to time. And, you know, well, if you wanna make money doing art, then you should do paintings that sell, that are more commercial. You know, research of what other artists are doing that are selling well, look at their work, see the trends that are going on, and, you know, if you want to make money doing paintings, I would say something with a nice composition, colorful, would probably sell faster than, you know, my homeless painting or any social commentary work that really nobody, it's not really meant to be hanging in the living room.
As you said, it's more of an awareness to, you know, make people aware and
I mean, you know, I still do commercial paintings from time to time. If I get a commission to do a portrait, I would gladly do it. Or if I you know, if somebody commissions me to do a landscape or a still life, I'll do that too. Basically, I would say to the artist to research what sells and also get yourself out there, you know, exhibit your work, have people see it. Even if it's a small exhibit, you know, be a part of it. That way you'll get your work out for more people to see. And then you'll also meet the right people that might be able to help you with your work.
Yeah. I think you're right there, Eugene. It's probably one of the biggest things if you really do want to make some money at, you know, being an artist, is a lot of activity and really being out there and talking to people and, you know, really engaging.
That's true.
You know, whether it's online or, you know, out trying to set up exhibits and stuff.
I just want to say one thing, Rick, is that I'm almost positive that no artist that has decided on their career as in an art field really went in it for the money.
Mm-hmm. You know,
the first and foremost thing that any artist should be doing is doing work that they're passionate about and work that they believe in. And if they do that and people sense integrity in their work, they're going to be drawn to it. And you know, that's really what an artist needs to do, is be true to themselves, true to their work. And if they, you know, if they really follow through with all of those things, that they'll attract more
mm-hmm.
people to it and more attention.
It's kind of magnetizing in a way, don't you think? You know, that, you know, when you really have that deep down passion, you know, for what you're doing.
It's really a must. I mean, anything that you do, you need to be enthusiastic about it. I mean, it is my passion. Art is really something that I plan to do even if my paintings don't sell. I mean, it's not really the deciding issue for me, is if I sell a painting or not. It's much deeper for me than that.
Mm.
And art is something that I kind of have to keep doing. And it's just so much a part of me, not just for the monetary reasons, but for, you know, for my own soul to enlighten myself and, you know, to feel good about creating.
Do you kind of think that most everybody, you know, deep down inside is an artist at heart?
Yeah, I think there's a quote by Picasso, I believe, and he said that every child is an artist, but the trick is to remain a child once you grow up.
Yeah,
I believe that everybody, and when they were young, they had that feeling of creativity and joy and, you know, all the positivity. And then when you grow older, you know, you realize a lot of things about this world, a lot of injustices and things like that. And, you know, for some people, it breaks them and kind of makes them more serious, makes them less playful in their life. And they lose that passion that they had when they were kids. But I think that you really need to hold on to what that magic feeling you had when you were a kid, when you were just playing, just to have fun. And that's one part of being an artist, is, you know, enjoying what you do. You know, you have to enjoy what you do, and, you know, even if it's not your profession, even if you don't make money off of it, but you just enjoy it, there's no harm in that. It really benefits your soul if you enjoy creation, the process of creation.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we started off, you know, in school and that, and just growing up. I remember I did anyway, with crayons and, you know, simple paints and stuff like that. You know, and that kind of sticks with you, it seems like.
Yeah, it's really a game, you know. I mean, just like anything in life, art is a game, and it's about playing with colors, with line quality, with composition, and really trying new things, experimenting. And it's okay if you start and you're not, you know, you don't get what you are aiming for, because, you know, when I started, I didn't always get what I was aiming for, and there were times when I failed. But I think the most important thing to remember is that, you know, failure, you learn a lot more from failing than you do from success. And failure is just a part of the process. Mm-hmm. With failure, you know your faults of what you did wrong or what you can improve on, and then next time you improve upon those things. And it's a gradual process to get however good that you want to get. It's really it's a process of many failures and a few successes.
Yep, definitely. A process of life, I would say. Wouldn't you too?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And yeah, that really is the only way we really learn, is when we make a failure, you know. Maybe not intentionally, but, you know.
Well, nobody really wants to fail intentionally, but
no.
I think part of the society of how we're taught in school or in general, like the way our society looks down at failure, it's a wrong way to look at things, because, I mean, everybody fails in life at some point. And,
yeah,
you know, part of it is get back up on a horse and keep riding, you know.
Yeah.
It's just a part of life. I mean, there's nobody nobody that ever lived always had great moments in life. You know, you have to go through the hardships in order to feel those great moments.
Yeah. Life has a lot of struggles. There ain't no doubt about it. We got to learn to roll with the punches and just keep going.
Absolutely.
So, Eugene, would you like to mention anything else before we close up this podcast?
Well, I just want to mention to anybody that is starting out in art, or anybody that wants to, you know, improve or anything, just, I believe, really the process of improving or creating art is just doing it. You know, you have to keep doing it, and you have to study as much as you can. Go on YouTube. You know, you can watch videos of many great artists painting. There's so much information in today's world with the internet that
mm-hmm.
you can really learn anything that you want if you put a little dedication and time into it. And also, don't be afraid to experiment or to fail, to branch out, because that's part of growing as an artist. You need to get, you know, try new things. If one thing is not working, then try something else. And that's how you learn, you know.
Yeah.
So I believe it's all about the process. It's the process of creativity.
Definitely diversify in your what you're doing.
Indeed.
Because, yeah, I agree with you. I totally do. So I guess that'll do it for our podcast today. Great job.
Thank you. It was a pleasure talking to you about art. You know, I can really talk about art all day. You know, I mean, it's something that, you know, any artist understands that it's really a passion to, and a joy to talk about, to think about, to do it. You know, it's a privilege too. So thank you so much, Rick, for all that you do in Artist of the Month, and, you know, what you do for the art society. It's really, it really means a lot to me and to everybody else that has been on Artist of the Month.
Okay. Well, you're welcome. You're definitely welcome. Thank you all for joining us today. you'd like to find out more information about Eugene Cooperman, just visit the artistofthemonth.net website and click on the podcast banner, and that'll take you to the page that'll have all the information and links we talked about here today on the Artist of the Month podcast. Till next time, we'll see ya. God bless.